Welcome to the TechNori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me on today's show, my good friend, Desiree Vargas Wrigley, the CEO, founder of Parachute Kids. That's parachutekids.com. Parachute spelled like pear, like the fruit you eat. She has like a long history of TechNori. She pitched on stage. She's raised some money via Republic. She is the founder of a company called Give Forward, which was kind of a precursor to GoFundMe. And then, you know, she's so involved in TechNori that she actually was in the original video for TechNori Showcase like 5 years ago. And she's still absolutely crushing it as an entrepreneur. And Parachute is taking off. They're, you know, growing leaps and bounds, flirting with profitability. Super cool. A company that I thought was great when she started, but now that I have a kid, I completely understand like the need, and she's evolved the business that we talk about in this show, how she's evolved this business into something that was, you know, you used to say it's kind of a class past four, and now it's sort of a completely enhanced version of that, and she's learned a lot, and a lot of experience and stuff, so I think you guys will get a big kick out of that. And if you're going to be a parent, or you are a parent, this might be the single greatest gift that I give you, is somewhere to take the kids, the little animals that are running all over the place, and giving them something to run that energy off, or maybe run your energy off. Who knows? Before we do the conversation with Desiree, though, I do have to check in with the Twitter poll, which is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. Go beyond email marketing with true automation by signing up at activecampaign.com/TechNori. Get your first 2 months for free. Twitter poll question of the day: do you fear tech and automation replacing your current job role someday? We have only, it's early. I did it this morning. So there's a whole day left. Go to follow us at TechNori and you can participate. But kind of surprised, 100% of the votes, no, not at all. One, maybe it's because we have tech people and they know. I just think it's interesting because most people, I think, when you talk to them, are a little bit afraid of technology taking their job. I was prepared to say something in regards to that, but I don't need to because the crowd has spoken. Not at all. 100% of people right now are not afraid at all of technology or automation and AI taking their job. Smart folks, we're a long ways away from that. I think at worst case scenario, they should look at it as augmentation. It's going to help them do their job better, more efficiently. It might be productivity things they don't do, but generally speaking, they are safe. So that is my Twitter poll question of the day. Now let's jump in with my conversation with the CEO, founder of Parachute for Kids, Desiree Vargas Wrigley. You actually had to show up and like teach a class. I just get to tell people I'm teaching a class, but I actually show up for like my wife, who's a high school teacher, is like, you're not a teacher. Like you're
there's
not,
no grading happening.
There's no nothing happening. I just go and I just ramble. That's like this gig.
Yeah, I should have done it that way. I was responsible for the full 3 hours, and
like for on end though.
On end,
yeah. See, I get 1 3 hours where I'm like kind of responsible, and then
that's it.
Yeah, I might even have drinks before. I don't even know.
That sounds good. I did bring beer to one of the classes.
Okay, so I'm not a complete.
I got better reviews that one. I should have done it the second time around.
So that's what I'm thinking, is people are going to think he's funny. As long as you don't smell like whiskey,
you're golden.
Yeah, you're golden, because I'm much more patient. And like the one thing Jeffrey said was, he was like, the guy who's teaching is like, be yourself, be critical, because these guys are going to talk about, and girls are going to talk about their companies that are, you know, probably not the best idea in some cases. And like, the best thing you can do is tell them the truth. I just don't know how much is okay.
Yeah. Well, don't forget also, a lot of them are kind of playing make-believe entrepreneur for this class.
Yeah.
That they're testing it out, but they're going to go back to whatever else they're doing.
And I assume there's also a bunch that literally don't care. Like they're just, this
along
is like part of the class I'm in. So like, sure.
That's true. And then there's some that are really passionate about the idea. So you have to kind of decide which one you're talking to and how to structure your advice. But I found that they really like frameworks, because they get frameworks in their other things. So give them something visual as an analog for them to understand the topic that you're discussing.
So for you as a founder, would you prefer, and obviously it's different from an investor or someone who's like actually really vested in your company, but would you prefer someone who you pitch Parachute to be totally like true, like, don't, even if they're wrong, like garbage, or it's great or whatever, versus someone who just kind of lip service, or like maybe a hybrid? What would you prefer as a founder? Do you think it's a waste of time if they're just totally full shit?
Yeah, that's the worst, when someone's like, oh yeah, seems pretty like a pretty solid idea, looks like you got a nice little project going there, and like it's, oh, like
if they say, you know, the project word, yeah, that's where they lose
you. Yeah, they're done. I mean, when someone's giving you critical feedback, that means they're thinking about the business.
Yeah.
But the best thing ever is when you're talking to someone and you give them just enough information that they start having ideas about your business that you all have already had, but they say them to you and you're like, yes, they get
so
it.
I'm on the right path.
Well, that, but then you also,
or wrong path.
You have them. Like, they're like, their brain is inspired and excited and they're starting to problem solve on your business. Then you know you have the beginnings of a relationship with that investor or mentor.
I will pose a question. So this is not necessarily the investor want to be mentor thing, but, and maybe this is just a occupational hazard. Because I run into so many people from so many crazy backgrounds, I have this sort of like, you just get this feeling. I don't know. It's like the hair on your neck stands up a little bit and you're just like, oh, this, how do I get out of this? Like, I just don't want to talk to this person.
I thought you were going to say the opposite, like spidey sense that something was going to be really good.
Well, that happens. Like when Cameo Steven came on for the first time, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be huge. And everyone's like, oh, I don't get it. And I was like, oh, you're an idiot. Like if you spend any time on Snapchat, like this is real.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get spidey sense in the good way, but I get more spidey sense in the bad way. It keeps me away from garbage. But I'm like, I try to figure out how to end conversations as quickly as possible. And so when I know, and this is not nice, obviously, I'm not trying to say it's nice, but I just think it's interesting. When somebody comes in, they've got like a bunch of ideas. Sometimes I will just sort of be like, oh yeah, you know, like I don't say the project word, 'cause that's how you get mad. And then they tell you more. It's sort of a, oh yeah, I know some people like that. And you know, blah, blah, blah. And like, I try to like get the hell out of there as quickly as possible. Is that bad? Or is it like, am I being unfair? Like you have to see the same things. Like people have to come to you and be like, you're a multi-time founder. This isn't your first time.
Yeah, it is hard. You know, when someone comes to you with an idea that you're like, oh, it's just like seven other players in the space.
Because if you say crap, if you say like, whatever, then they're going to say, what do you mean? And then you have to talk to them. Now you're engaged and it's...
Well, I don't mind the engagement part, especially if they're interesting. But I think that the way I usually like kind of reposition the conversation is, oh yeah, it seems like a crowded space, but kudos to you if you found, you know, an angle in that is different or an opening in the market. Like, what is your opening in the market? And often they have a great answer if you just like give them a directed part of conversation.
But I'm if it's talking just to the kind of
like
people.
Just like making conversation and they're like, oh, I'm a food delivery service that is, you know, mobile enabled. And you're like, great.
Yeah. We're built only for the scooters, though. So that's our hook. We're going to get bought by Lime because we only do scooter delivery. No, I
don't
mean,
get me started with scooters.
Yes. Are you familiar with the birding thing? Are you on this yet?
I mean,
not the bird scooters, but like the term and the action of birding.
No.
Oh, this is, we had the bird guy on, so I apologize, Brandon, about what I'm about to say. So they launch in Chicago, and of course they did this in all these cities where they have like kind of test areas, right? So it's West Loop. But as soon as you venture beyond a certain, you know, distance outside of the loop, it just slowly shuts down.
Mm-hmm. Like the shopping carts.
Yeah, exactly. And so the problem is that people are frustrated by that and they have no use for it. And so they are turning around and they are whipping the scooters into the trees and they're taking a picture and hashtagging it birding. Mm. And
well,
I think that's
sounds
amazing.
Expensive.
It sounds like a huge problem for their business model. And I was walking down, it was by Fulton Market just past where Google is. And I was, I think it was like Racine and whatever. I saw two in the tree and I took a picture. I couldn't help it. It was just...
I mean, they say it's good when you become a verb as a business, but that does not sound
the verb
like a
verb costs you money, right? That's no good.
My biggest challenge with it is it doesn't seem defensible at all as an industry, and the valuation was just so insane. So I feel bad for the founder having to live up to those price tags, but
that's going to have to be a monster exit, or a lot of people are going to lose a ton of. Like I like the last mile. I mean, we talked about it on the show. There's like a last mile component of it that I think is interesting. Chicago's kind of tough when there's 12 inches of snow on the ground 4 months a year. Like that's no good, or ice. Like there's a bunch of problems in there, but like I do theoretically like the idea of the hop on. Like I would hop on a bird. I did in San Diego. I'll hop on and ride it versus I'll never take a bike. Like it was not.
Yeah, but there's nothing stopping you from taking the Uber scooter or the 75 other brands.
Yeah, and so
I guess that's what I mean. Like it's hard to defend
space. I just mean the opportunity. There is at least an opportunity, I think, for
completely.
It. It's just
alternative transportation is
I mean, I guess it's just branding, right? Whoever has the best branding wins or comes
most bikes or most scooters, right? I mean, I don't know either.
That's not a problem, a business thing that I want to be involved in, I feel like.
No, we don't have to solve that one.
Yeah. But you did solve another problem that is more relative to me now, even more so than when you were on stage, because now I have a baby girl that I have to like figure out what to do with, which I don't know.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Jen's doing everything, and I am just there watching, like, what is going on?
Well, I can't wait to send you parachute credits. I'm sorry I haven't done it already.
Oh, we're in. She right now doesn't know the difference. She slept every 2 hours tonight. This is her 7th week birthday today, so you know we're
great. So I didn't miss by too much.
No, you're good. She's well, still
our classes start at 6 weeks, so actually
what's a class that parachute has for a 6-week-old child, or is it more for the parents?
It's a little of both, but yeah. As a quick reminder, so Parachute's a website and an app, and we make it really easy for families to discover and book the best family-friendly activities happening in every city across the U.S.
Oh, we're going to get into all this like I don't even know you. Don't worry.
Oh, good.
We're
okay,
going to
get
there.
So we have infant massage, which is, you can start as early as 6 weeks, and then we have a lot of new mom, kind of fourth trimester, new parent classes, so you can start to build your community of parents who have similarly aged kids.
And are you... is it like Chicago? Is it extended Chicago suburb? Like, I know you're in a bunch of cities, but like, what's the layout?
Yeah. So Chicago's our hometown and headquarters. So most of the stuff is here.
Yep.
But we have across the country, we have, I think, 1,500 partners that are listed with inventory that you can kind of purchase for credits.
Yep.
And then beyond that, we have probably another 5,000 or 6,000 providers that we work through our third-party integrations. And then on top of that, we have like 13 million spots of inventory through our API integration. So we're getting pretty big.
Yeah, I would say so. So this takes us, like, we live in Glen Ellyn, so we can go, and there's places all over the suburbs and whatever.
All over.
And how does it work exactly?
So you come onto the site or the app, and you put in your daughter's age and how far you're willing to travel. So maybe 5 miles, maybe 25 miles. And then we give you a list of all the different activities you can do on any given day as a family. That includes postnatal workouts with daycare. Yep. It includes prenatal fit. It includes, you know, free story times at the library. We also have concerts in the park. So it's not just paid experiences. It's also the great activities that are happening in your local community.
So it's obviously valuable, especially if you want to plug in and just, you know, jump into stuff. What was the kind of the original value prop of this? Like, if I'm coming in to this completely new, and I'm like, from what I remember, the original kind of version of things, it was sort of like, you know, I buy a pack of 10 things for kids to do this, but then I don't go to all of them or I don't use them. And so I could sort of list them. Like, how does this work?
Yeah. So, you know, the original inspiration for the business was that I suddenly became a stay-at-home mom. I had 2 little boys. They were 18 months and 4 years old at the time. And I wanted to do something with the week, but I had no idea how to entertain them or enrich them. And when I went to go look at activities, you had to sign up for 10 weeks at a time or 12 weeks at a time, and each one is $300. And so to do that with 2 boys and try to fill your week.
It's a big commitment.
A huge commitment, especially since I wasn't working at the time. And so we looked at the ClassPass model, me and the team over at Builders, and said, this is working in adult fitness. Maybe it can work in the kids' space too. Really with the idea of like, how do we help families discover new activities and also kind of help these providers who have these empty spots? But over time, as my kids got older and I thought about our role in the marketplace, what I realized is that what we were really selling was helping families strengthen the bonds that they have and helping them build memories. And that doesn't just happen by going, you know, 3 times or 7 times or however many times you go to an activity. It's those kind of special one-off things that you decide to do sometimes spontaneously, or it's the discovery of, you know, the greatest performer ever at the, you know, Green City Market, things like that that are special and kind of bring you together and make you feel connected with your community. And the ClassPass model just falls apart for that because it's all leftover inventory.
Yeah.
So there's nothing happening at 3 o'clock on a Sunday in the kids' classes space.
Yep.
But in the community, there's a lot of things happening, and especially during the summer. And so we evolved the model on April 1st. We decided to start working with providers through Eventbrite, Groupon Things to Do, Ticketmaster, Gold Star. And so basically in every city in America, we have this baseline of activities that you can do. And then we partner with individual activity providers, and they can self-onboard through our partner platform, and they can start to add their own classes. So it's been a great
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's like, so like the thing that I think stood out to me in the beginning and stands out to me even more now is just sort of this fact that, especially if you're a new parent, it is crazy. There's so much stuff. And then there's also so little stuff at the same time. Like, there's so many activities going on. It's like white noise. There's always something. But like, to find the ones that are actually valuable and then be able to make them work within your schedule is sort of like, for me at least, is like incredibly difficult. And I wouldn't even know where to start. And one of the things my wife found super helpful was like she joined some crazy Facebook group. And I think halfway just for her own entertainment to like read what craziness people write. But also you start to like pick up on like where the good places are and what, like what works and what's safe and what's fun. And so this essentially is a way for you to, pun intended, parachute right into the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Drop into the fun. That's really what we're trying to build. But you know, you touch on something that I think is really important, and that is that there is an isolating component of being a new parent.
Yeah.
That if you're the first of your friend or the last of your friend, or you move to the suburbs or you move to a new city, you can feel very alone. And there are a lot of things happening in the city, but you don't necessarily know where to go or what it's going to be like when you get there and you are in this kind of unpredictable world with this tiny new human.
Yep.
And so we really try to remove a lot of the stress of that by, you know, you've already paid for it. They're already expecting you. And you say you're a parachute family when you drop in, and people welcome you. And also there are often other parachute families there.
Yeah.
And on the app, we show you what families have attended classes with you so that you can friend them in the app. And then you get a push notification when they book something so you can go with them. So we're really trying to enable a community yeah. as early as possible for new parents, because we know how important it is for kind of the parent psyche and the sense of connection to the community.
So what are the age ranges now for where you guys are sort of the sweet spot, and then where do you see this growing? What are the big kind of growth opportunities for you other than just every city in the world?
Yeah, every city in the world sounds great. We technically have classes and activities for 18 and under, but I would say our sweet spot is 14 and under. By the time they're teenagers, they're kind of not interested in spending that much time with yeah. mom and dad. But 60% of the inventory in there is for families with children kind of 7 and under. But that's quickly changing through yeah. more of our integration. So we soon will have Mind Body Online integrated. We're about to launch with an indoor skydiving company, which is really
exciting.
Oh, I can't
imagine which one that is.
We have Legoland. We have Six Flags. We have almost all of the water parks across the country. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Kudos to you guys. You guys have been crushing it it's been every time I talk to you, it's like a whole nother world of business, which I want to get into a little bit because I think, you know, one, you're a multi-time founder, you've been through this, you get the gist, get the fundraising, you've got amazing investors, you got all the right people on the team. A lot of times we talk to, and they're sometimes successful. It just takes a while for them to figure it out or whatever. It's just the path that is entrepreneurship. A lot of companies and founders in particular get lost on all the revenue opportunities. There's all these different things that we can pivot to. We can build 5 different lines of revenue. We can do whatever, all this stuff. And I always circle back on this, like, but what is your biggest value prop? What's the thing that people love from you? What's that thing that they're like, you know what, I would have gone to the competitor, but I love Parachute because. And build your path, the original rock solid path to profitability there, and then look at your market and like, are there barriers that are going to prohibit you from going to London or to other cities outside of this country after you've conquered the US? And if there aren't, why would you spend any time chugging away anywhere else except for that like one line that you want to own? And I feel like you're doing that, and I see a lot of people not doing that. I'm just like, you're kind of like, and I won't name names because you know these people that are not in your space directly, but are in the same general kind of class pass kind of play. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I don't like, you're something to no one, everything. I don't know, however the phrase goes.
Oh no, I think you're going to hate my answer.
No, go for it.
Because I do believe in doing one thing and doing it really well. When that one thing is killing it, right?
Yeah.
But we recognize that the ClassPass model has a lot of fundamental flaws.
Yep.
And so we had to pivot out of it.
Okay.
Or evolve out of it.
Yep.
So one of the flaws is that you're dealing only with remnant inventory, like I mentioned. So there's a point where you have too many customers for the amount of inventory.
Yep.
And supply is never going to give you more classes because they don't want to discount classes that they would normally get full price on.
Yep.
So a market like Chicago, we thought could sustain 50,000 customers. At around 5,000, we started to see churn go up. And so, you know, one option is to just keep going market by market, expand.
But that proved out that it wasn't the right fit. Like,
yeah.
No one was going to look at you and go, I love Parachute because they offer me the most odd job times. No
exactly.
one's going to love that. They're going to be like, but they will say, I love parachute because they gave me a community that I could parachute into because I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. And for that, I love them. And you are able to create that one thing in every single market you go to. Whether you make your money on this or that, you create a community in every place that kind of interlocks. That's your thing.
Completely agree. So like the one value prop that we have is living at the intersection of discovery, convenience, and affordability for families. But what it allows us to do is create additional revenue streams that have higher margins. And so, you know, within the kids activity space, whether it's affiliate or managing the inventory directly, you know, margins are somewhere between 20% and 30%. But when you start to think about the brands that are trying to get in front of women, especially 25 to 45, the opportunity there is massive. And, you know, Facebook cost of acquisition is really going up for that audience. Same with Google. And we see ourselves as a new kind of media player within the category to be able to create kind of contextually relevant ads and content around what families are looking to do. Like, you know, if you're going to go get your picture taken with Santa, you want your kids in the right clothes. And that means potentially partnering with any brand that's trying to sell kids' clothes to mom. And so in doing that, you know, in expanding nationally over the last 3 months, we've been able to increase net revenue. This year, I think it'll be between 3 and 4X, which is really exciting.
So I do love your answer.
Thank you.
No,
like, but it is multiple revenue streams. I just want to clarify
It is, but we're so like I think we're saying the same thing, just like you know, masking it differently. Because like what I'm looking at is, I'll use your exact example. So I'm looking at people who are like, oh, you know, we figured out the mousetrap as to like how to get people to use our app or to use our website and to log on. So now I'm going to offer up office space, then I'm going to offer up this, and I'm going to offer up that, and I'm going to the revenue model is that's what I'm talking about. Because like once you figured out a hook, to try to duplicate the hook is the wrong thing. To try to add levers within that hook that offer new revenue. Well, no kidding. Like if you figured out how to build that sort of, as you described it, the nexus between discovery, you by default have an awesome ad model potentially sitting in front of you. So why would you not activate that and harness all that it has? But the main thing is that you don't get the revenue from that. You won't get the revenue from the passes. You won't get the revenue from any of this if you don't have that mechanism and that one hook, which is the nexus that you've created. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. Trying to create a nexus for this and a nexus for this and a nexus for this is like, and that's what I see a lot of. It's like, okay, you figured out how to make money on this one thing, but like, why not just continue to perfect that thing instead of trying to be this like WeWork?
Yeah, I know exactly. So, you know, we've been calling ourselves internally and somewhat externally the Amazon for family entertainment and enrichment. And the idea there is, I mean, Amazon wouldn't be what it is if the customers didn't come to go purchase things, right?
Yeah.
And with Amazon, you're expecting convenience and affordability, less discovery because you're usually coming for something specific. Yep. Then you might discover additional purchases on top of that. But we see ourselves similarly placed within, you know, our industry where we, you know, people come to see if it's not on parachute, then maybe it's not worth going to.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know, if
it's a legitimacy factor for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And also an ease, right? You can do it with one click on parachute because you have these stored credits or we have your credit card and you can just transact really easily as opposed to getting there, not knowing how long the line is, whether or not they're going to have spots available. And we're actually about to integrate with Atom Tickets too. So soon you'll be able to get like only kid-friendly movies coming through, and so world domination is.
I think it's awesome. This is actually, if we could nerd out for a second on the media piece of this, it's super compelling. So we've talked about on this show, and anyone who reads anything on media has probably observed this, that with the Facebooks and the Instagrams of the world sort of destroying a lot of e-commerce sites that based on like go to my site and buy this thing, and that model kind of obliterated what used to be this, like, we use media to sell, we advertise on it, and then it just kind of goes where it goes. The new model and the model that I'm seeing a lot of success with and seeing in the future is those that have, like, I am the place to go if you have a kid. You can buy everything. The Amazon for kids, that is a model where once they're in it, you can advertise them inside of it, whether it's direct or indirect, and allow them to make purchases in the app without ever leaving. So you've essentially, your job on social is to get people to go buy a one pass to one thing on parachute. Who cares after that? Just get them in. And then they love it. Then they connect to the community. Then they start relying on the community. Then they start buying in the community. And then boom, they're hooked.
Right. And we have this social component, right? So when you book something, your friends get a push notification.
They don't even need to go to Facebook. They just go on, they're on you.
Well, there's that. But then there's also a social level of commerce because we partner with brands like Home Chef, who you just had in. So we were selling, you know, I think it was $50 gift cards to Home Chef on Parachute for a few credits.
Yep.
So every time someone purchased a Home Chef gift card, a push notification was going out to their friends. They just purchased this.
Yep.
And like, you wouldn't want that on Amazon where you're buying like underwear or something. Yeah. But within our world,
you know exactly. Everyone wants to know what's the next thing. What are people using to hack this parent thing?
Yeah, it's all brag-worthy, right? Like, yeah. I'm taking my kids to the Wizard of Oz at Chicago Shakespeare or whatever.
Smart.
So we think there's a lot of opportunity within the direct-to-consumer brands that are focused on mom, dad, kids, kind of transportation, entertainment, all those things. And so it's an exciting place to be. And
the Parachute flywheel is spinning.
It's begun. We 10x monthly active users since we launched nationally, which is big.
Wow. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So what is the one thing still that you're, I mean, obviously there's a million things to worry about and build on, and there's growth that you don't even, you know, haven't even realized yet. But what's that one thing that you are, that keeps you up at night? They're like, oof, we got to do this right still, or we got to make sure this doesn't happen. What's that thing that's got you?
You know,
it may never go away, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're within stone's throw of profitability. So that is like an interesting place to be, right?
I bet.
Months we are profitable, which is also exciting. But I know that this company deserves to be massive. I know that the impact that we have on people's lives, you know, they write to us and say, the first time that my husband went swimming with our baby was on Parachute. The first time they held a paintbrush was on Parachute. Like, we're in people's baby books. We're on their feeds. We're grandparents are using us to take their kids places. I know that what we're building deserves to be in mass. And, you know, the thing that keeps me up is, are we going to be able to raise enough money and make this big enough that the world gets to experience this? Because this is the definition of childhood, right? It's creating those powerful moments, those moments of connection and elevation and insight, pride. And so I guess that's like the biggest thing, is that can we reach this ambition and this vision that I have, that we have as a team in our heads? And I know that the right investors are out there, but, you know, ClassPass hasn't been a huge success.
Yeah.
And since we started with that model, I have to do a lot of kind of unraveling of that narrative.
Change this. You use ClassPass as an example of, we learned what not to do.
Or we learned like the foundations of what can work, and then we layered on top, you know, a bunch more. And I think ClassPass will continue to work within boutique fitness.
Yeah.
But the model isn't really proving out well for, like, you know, the
for
meal service.
For all the reasons that, I mean, now in retrospect, you're like, okay, yeah,
yeah,
probably.
Of course, yeah, there was a supply and demand issue, yeah.
Yeah, it's a small little problem. This is one of the best answers I've ever had on that question, by the way. We always try to say that the people who respond with something that I call the micro, which is like, I've got to fix it tomorrow, it's like totally screwed. It's like, well, if you're having this dream tonight about it, it's probably too late, in which case, I'm not really sure my confidence level in you is very high. But if it's a, you know, macro, like big picture mission, and in particular about our people, whether it's the people who are a customer or people, our own team, those are the answers of the people who usually just crush it. So I have no doubt. I never had a doubt that you were going to be awesome anyway.
Thank you.
And I have to say, this is probably something you already do and know. My wife was like a little bit of a fangirl of yours since meeting you at the Technori events. And she's not a dangerous stalker. And
that's
so
sweet.
She's got other things to do now. But I just thought of the fact that she had friends who had kids, and she told them all about Parachute. I think a bunch of them actually invested on Republic, and they were all into that.
Awesome.
But with the thing was that we didn't have kids yet. And the very first thought, I didn't realize we could be involved at 6 weeks. So like, that's a new piece of information. But the very first thing that we talked about, like literally in the hospital, is like, oh, so then once we get to like month one, she's like, Desiree time.
Great.
Like, it's Parachute time.
We can finally redeem the perk.
Exactly. We're ready to, is it expired?
I don't know. I'll reissue it for sure.
But like, the bottom line here is like, that was a moment that I could not possibly have understood pre-child. Now with a child, these are things that, like, maybe it's just a male thing that, like, because we didn't literally like have the child, that we're sort of a little bit disconnected from reality, which is might just be a personal problem. But I couldn't think of it. I couldn't project myself forward into a moment where I have a kid and I'm thinking like water park time. Like that wasn't in my head, but it was in Jen's.
Yeah.
And the idea for me of thinking about how to market to and acquire users and make sure that your dream that you just talked about is fulfilled is about filling the pipeline up with pre-parents. And being that one name that everybody, who cares about the people who are, you know, I'm not saying who cares about those who have kids and grandkids at like a little bit later in the stage, but if they've had children already, they probably already have their like general deal, how they're going to do it. You might be able to get them on some stuff, but like the litany of billion people who are going to have a kid in the next 5 years, if the only brand they know to save their ass when they have the kid is Parachute, like you're going to be a very rich lady.
Well, I really hope you're right. And I thank you for understanding it because, you know, so many times from I'd walk into an investor boardroom where they have kids, but the kids are 11, 12, and they're like, oh, our kids are already in soccer. They're already in softball, whatever.
Patty took care of it is what they'd say.
Yeah. They say, one guy literally said, it can't be that hard. My wife figured it out. Can you believe that?
That's really nice of
him. I was like, you're offending me and your wife in the same moment.
I bet you treat her so well at home.
Yeah. But I think what happens naturally as a parent is you kind of forget certain times, and we forget how much money is spent between becoming pregnant and those first 7-12 years of trying to figure out what to do. Just 7 weeks, but
diapers. Are you kidding me?
Well, it's that, and definitely we should get into some kind of diaper business.
What the hell?
But, you know, especially in cities like Chicago where it's cold, rainy, or snowy, and you have these kids that are bouncing off the walls, and you're bouncing off the wall, and at the same time, you're competing with your own device and their devices, right? Like, you want to remove that, and sometimes it takes getting out of the house and having an excuse to do that. And you can't afford to go to the movies every week. It's $100 to go to the movies for a family of four. So I think that you're right. People are going to really see us as the resource, that one-stop shop for figuring out what to do today. And I think we're also going to continue to extend older and older. You know, this year we had our biggest year ever for selling camps. And we introduced, I think, to the market the kind of concept of a single day camp, which is probably hard for you to imagine needing right now. But
I'll take any camp right now.
Well, the sleep camp.
I'll take a give her back to me when she's 19 camp.
Well, we just
send me pictures.
So we did a study to see how much parents are spending on average over the summer. And we asked them how much they spend on an average day of childcare or camp or what they spend to go out to dinner or combination of things. And the total was $10,800. For a family.
That's insane.
Some of them were as high as $36,000. I mean, they were taking some expensive trips.
I was going to say, they're flying private, maybe.
I think sending their kids away to expensive camps. But the truth is that there's this huge financial burden on just trying to fill time during these summer months. And so we've been able to help families affordably get into individual care, because like the whole week can sometimes be way too expensive, $600 or something. But one day for $90 where your kid gets to experience, you know, like sailing for the day or whatever it is, it's cool. So I'm excited for the next kind of the older generation too of this business, because I think my kids are going to do some really cool stuff.
I am too. I think there's two things just off the top of what you just said that I want to hit on that I think are really interesting. There's two components to this that I think really change how I view it, and I think how other people would view this experience as being a parent and using Parachute. The first being the new generation of kids, including myself. I am like the tippy top of like ADD. Like I'm like buzzing like a fly. At this stage, when I was a kid, I could have gone to a camp for 7 days and the clock was moving so slow. And I don't think it's just because I'm an entrepreneur. I think like the world is faster now. I couldn't go to a camp and do the same thing for 5 days in a row. I would escape. I couldn't do it. So I think that you're going to find with the constant stimulus coming on for kids and adults, they can't even watch a whole movie anymore. Like actual adults can't even sit through them. They want to bring intermissions back in and to like give them drinks and food and things and to like pipe the sugar down or something, because we don't have the attention span because Instagram's 9 seconds.
Yeah.
So I think that having the ability to drop in individually into these actually give a lot of camps and things more life, and you're going to be the person who's providing with that. And I also think it's better suited for probably the majority of people in the future. Maybe not quite yet, but like the future kids. And then the other part of this that I think is really key, and this is like, in my mind, the secret sauce of how you're going to be successful. And you obviously mentioned this with that Nexus component. I think that the FOMO part of like the worst thing you can do as a parent, I mean, obviously there's really actually worse things. This is like a privilege
thing.
First world problems. But like the worst thing you can do is show up to a camp or a thing where you're the only one there, or like it's like not well attended, or it's the wrong group of people or whatever it is. The idea that I can go here and find out what the cool people do, what the good parents do, because I'm not a good parent yet, I don't know what's going on, is validation. And that is a safe feeling that you become addicted to really quickly.
It is true. So especially when you're working set of parents, and you see
guilt.
There's a tremendous amount of guilt, and like, what am I not doing? And you pay all this money for, you know, a childcare situation where they're doing yoga and soccer, but you never get to witness it. And so that's something that we definitely solve for working families, is being able to be a part of your child's enrichment and see them light up when, like, the, you know, little flags.
It's like parenting of the future is how I view this. It really is. Like, you say Amazon, I just look at it from the, as a customer, I'm like,
it's the parachute of parachute. Yeah.
It's the parachute of parachute. I love this. This is awesome. Desiree, thank you so much for coming. Where do people go to download the app, to start using it? How do they get credits? How does this whole thing work?
So parachutekids.com is the website, but it's P-E-A-R, like the fruit. And then you can find us in Google Play or in the Apple iTunes, Apple Store, App Store.
See, now, we're all confused about it, because they're getting rid of iTunes. And so I'm like,
App Store.
Wherever you get your podcast, wherever you get your app, I don't know, app, just type in parachute spelled like a pear and you'll find it.
Yes, you will. Thank you.
This is awesome. Thank you so much. All right. To learn more about upcoming investment opportunities, check out the blog at technori.com. Download the podcast on Spotify or Apple Store, wherever you get yours. Follow us on social at technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.